First, people around the world are dealing with the impacts of the coronavirus pandemic. For some, it's the often devastating physical effects of contracting COVID-19. For many others, it's feelings of loneliness, anger, anxiety, or sadness. A new online course at Oregon State University offers anyone the opportunity to examine the emotional and psychological effects that can occur even without contracting COVID-19. More than 3,700 people are enrolled, and it's free for anyone, anywhere to take. Regan Gurung is one of the instructors for the course. Regan is executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State and professor of psychological sciences. He spent 20 years at UW-Green Bay. He's a frequent guest here on Central Time. Regan, good to have you back.
Hi, Rob. Great to be back. I'm glad we can talk about this course.
And Catherine Becker-Bleese is with us, associate professor and director of the School of Psychological Science at Oregon State University, and came up with the idea for the course, I understand. Kathy, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Well, I'm sure you were scrambling like, I guess, professors and teachers everywhere to move online as this epidemic emerged. You were in the early stages there in the Pacific Northwest. What led you to want to create this class and then make it available to all of us?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We were scrambling because we saw all the cases in Seattle, and we're just down I-5, just down the road from Seattle. And as we were moving to remote, we knew our students were going to have a real challenge psychologically in terms of motivation and in terms of what were these hastily put together remote courses going to look like in terms of their grades. And so partially we were looking at the psychology community across the country who was actively mobilizing a lot of resources to be ready for the psychological effects. But also we were thinking about our students, and we thought we need a course for our credit-sparing students, but also for everybody out there in the world. Pass, fail, everybody can take it, and we'll just put together a team of people and just kind of see how it goes. Because, of course, we didn't know at the time kind of where we would be even today or where we would be a month from now. So, you know, a combination of wanting to help students and wanting to give psychology away to the broader community.
And, Regan, what are some of the common reactions to living in such a strange and uncertain time?
I think, you know, one of the things right off the bat that you see is with the loss of control, there's a lot of fear. And I think fear is probably the number one element that we find ourselves talking about. There's discomfort, there's anxiety. And I think starting maybe even as long as 4 or 5 weeks ago, you know, there were reports both from students and colleagues about how there are times of the day when you get frozen, when you can't think, when you just don't feel good. And we take all of those things head on in the course and provide some tools to deal with them.
And Kathy, let's talk about this idea of punching through pandemics. Sometimes we think in our lives of unreasonable fears and anxieties. In this case, we're dealing with very reasonable fears and anxieties. How do we take things like this seriously without being overwhelmed?
Right. So, you know, I think I posed that exact question to a clinical psychologist in New York City who was on, and she said something really wise, which said, you know, we don't actually have all the answers. This is something we're figuring out together. But the best answer we have so far, for me anyway, and from psychology, is that you have to try to separate the productive worry from the unproductive worry. So if you're worried about something and that caused, like checking the statistics or checking the news, and that causes you to be better prepared, you know, to get, you know, to buy some food but not stock up on all the toilet paper. If you find that it's helping you prepare, go ahead and worry. If the worry is just keeping you up at night, you're stockpiling things that aren't necessary, then those are worries to let go. The challenge, of course, is that it's changing hour by hour practically what is actually productive and what's not productive. And so that process is chewing up a lot of our brain power right now, but that's still the best answer we have to deal with these worries that keep popping up.
And that moving target, Regan, that Kathy was talking about, seems like part of the challenge in and of itself, the uncertainty, the, you know, what are things going to be like tomorrow, in a week, in a month?
Well, I think, and you know, something we find ourselves, a topic that we often come back to almost every week in some way or the other in the course, is this distinction between, you know, the two main types of coping that's out there. There's, you know, approaching the situation and avoiding the situation. And I think for many of us, avoiding the situation to keep the emotions at bay seems to be something that we have a tendency to do. And what the psychological science says is, you know what? avoiding something actually in the short run is okay, but it's not necessarily a good thing to do in the long run. And I think that's really tough. It feels good to not have to think about all that fear and distract ourselves. But by the same token, there are some times where you just have to make some changes, and that's going to be better. And I think we're seeing that right now as higher education everywhere prepares for the summer and the fall. Is now we've got some time. What are we going to do to make things better for us as we move forward?
We're talking to Catherine Becker-Blees and Regan Gurung. They're both psychology professors at Oregon State University. They are part of the team behind this online class, Punch Through Pandemics. Kathy, do you have thoughts for people who are more directly affected? They've been through the illness itself or watched a loved one with it, or they've been hit by a job loss in this time when so many people are losing jobs. Are there things that that they can do that can help them cope with that difficult, direct situation?
Yeah, so for the people who are more affected, the coping is definitely more challenging. And I think the what's being suggested for people who are more directly affected, including the frontline health workers in the more affected cities, as well as the groups you talked about, is to focus on values. And then you can't always plan your day. You can't even always do what you want to do. You might hit that wall Regan was talking about. But if you return to what your values and then try to align what actions you do take during the day, whatever the circumstances are, with those values, that's really the best way to move forward when there's so much uncertainty and grief and loss. It's the basis of some psychological therapy. It's the basis of research. So we return to your values. You can write, you can read, you can do different things to discover what those are and live in that space until we get to the point where you can plan and you can act again. That's our suggestion.
Regan, if people want to get involved with this class, I know there are lectures online and other materials. What do we have to do?
All you have to do is go to punchcovid19.com, and all the instructions there are in front of you. If you want, you can just listen to our guest lectures. We have some great experts talk. We have two happiness experts on there. We had an expert on video game design who actually told us about the best video games to play during the pandemic and why it could actually be good for you. So yes, kids listening, if you keep getting told to not play video games, you may want your folks to listen to that special guest because she said some things that many of us adult parents, I think, were surprised by.
Well, so I can't leave that hanging, Regan. Can you name a name or two of video games?
Well, actually, yes. This was the creator of something called a video game called Super Better. One word, Super Better. And I would actually say start right there, because Super Better is a video game that takes psychological science and you play a game with it and it helps you cope. And she actually released a special pandemic version that includes fun little excursions such as household and yard scavenger hunts and little challenges. So yeah, Super Better right there. Check out Super Better. Download it. It's free. And it's a video game that helps you flex some psychological muscle.
And Kathy, before I let you two go, can you talk about the response you've gotten from the people participating, the many people participating in this online class?
Yeah, well, I do think we achieved the goal of putting stuff out there for a variety of audiences. There's some folks who just kind of drop in and read and are, you know, on the sidelines, and then we have a really dedicated, involved group of students earning credit who are in the course, and then and a few times we've had a few people from the community join our course live, and so the people are really appreciating having a place to go to, and they really appreciate the practice. There's a lot of mindfulness practice there that's really relevant right now. So, it's just the opportunity to get together, talk to other people, engage in a variety of different ways.
Kathy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
And Regan, good to talk to you again.
You too, Rob. Take care.
We've been talking to Catherine Becker-Blees, Associate Professor and Director of the School of Psychological Science at Oregon State University, and Regan Gurung, Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State and Professor of Psychological Sciences. They're both instructors for this online course we've been talking about, Punch Through Pandemics with Psychological Science, that's free and open to the public. You can find it at punchcovid19.com. We also have a link up at WPR.org/centraltime.